Minutes, by the way, we mentioned earlier, is that's in metric. All right? So it's in metric measurement. You got to figure that out. What's that? All right. All right, Andrew, you be quiet. Let's read it together. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, the so-called 10 minutes begins now. As you may remember, the first Thanksgiving took place in October-ish, of 1621. Anybody tell me where that location was, or where it's told it was? Plymouth, absolutely. Plymouth, Massachusetts. It took place in October. The exact date isn't known, but I think that's why Canadians celebrate Thanksgiving in October, because they're more true to the original date, all right? But anyway, it was a three-day festival, we're told. It lasted a long time. It was attended by 90 Native Americans and 53 pilgrims that were gathered there. We often get the image of the pilgrims wearing these big hats and, you know, the black outfits and everything, and as we see them on TV and so on. And although, and throughout the history, the relationship of the American Native Indian has not always been exemplary, to say the least, but this event was a positive first step in bringing Native Americans and what was back then Americans, the early settlers of America, together, communities living and working together in peace. The purpose of this celebration was very specific. It was to say thank you to God and for his goodness and for his blessing. That's why they gathered on the shores of Plymouth. And today, if you go to Plymouth, Massachusetts, you'll see Plymouth Rock, where all those early pilgrims came and where they gathered and where they vowed to give thanks to God and to promote peace and prosperity. It's interesting that those early Americans felt this way, because it can be argued that they didn't have a whole lot to be thankful for. When you look at it, they really didn't. The group of 100 or so people who did not feel welcome in their homeland had traveled across the ocean. And you can imagine how tough that would be, coming across the Atlantic and landing in Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts, of all places. And so that was tough. They found on our shores that it was not a paradise. It was not a piece of cake. It was not a cakewalk. But rather, it was hardship beyond imagination. They had no communication with their friends. They could not whip out their cell phone and text their friends over in England or wherever they're from and say, hey, we're here, we've arrived. They couldn't do that. They couldn't send them an email. Nothing like that. And so it was tough. They had very few resources to work with. They had very little to go on. And so they made it the very best they could. And during their first winter, down in Plymouth Rock, 45 of the original 102 immigrants died as a result of the harsh conditions. And it must have been very harsh, I'm sure. So, really, what did they have to be thankful for? What gave them that thankful spirit? What really gave them the sense in which they were thankful for, you know, just being alive? That in itself, to those folks, was probably something very, very overwhelming, that they had even survived these harsh winter conditions, and they were around to tell about it. They saw the blessings as well. Not just the hardships, but the blessings. They saw the possibilities of what it could be. So when the harvest was complete in the fall of 1621, which was almost 400 years ago, this group of overcomers said this. They said, let's take a little time right now and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for all he's done for us. They said this in spite of the heartbreak they had suffered, and in spite of the fact that the winter was right around the corner, and that it would be necessary for them to go through this very, very difficult time. Still, they wanted to say thanks. And they wanted to say thanks in a big, huge, gigantic way. As a nation, we have celebrated Thanksgiving off and on now for the last 240 years. In 1863, over 200 years after the Pilgrims landed in Massachusetts, President Abraham Lincoln made it official. He proclaimed the fourth Thursday in every year to be a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. That's how he wrote it. That was his executive order, if you will. And he wrote executive orders back then. He proclaimed it to be a day of thanksgiving. 1863, does anybody know what that date brought? Anybody remember what happened in 1863? It was a year when America didn't seem to have much to be thankful for. It was a very difficult time during the Civil War. It was a miserable war. 620,000 American soldiers died from combat, from starvation, from disease. 620,000. That's a lot of people. And in the middle of that, President Lincoln, my favorite president of all, I don't care what they say about any current president or any former president or whatever, but Brother Abe has to take the cake. He was the best president this country's ever had. President Abraham Lincoln said, let's come together as a nation and give our thanks to God. Now, that was the year also that Abe Lincoln was assassinated, wasn't it? I believe, 1863. And it was a tough year. And how was he able to say, let's come together, let's be thankful as a nation? How was he able to say that in spite of all the tragedy, in spite of all the darkness, in spite of all the chaos, in spite of all the turmoil? He saw the freedom of an enslaved people. He saw the unity that this nation could achieve. And he saw the prosperity that could be ours if we just stopped a moment and gave thanks. He didn't just see what was happening today. He could see a couple turns around the bed. And he said, let's give thanks to God anyway. Let's do it anyway, all right? So, I want to just say this morning, in spite of the fact that this nation of ours today is a nation that's in turmoil, in spite of the fact that we have wars and rumors of wars, in spite of the fact that we have a nation today where it is turning against itself, left versus right, independent of every shade of color, every nationality, every group, every situation in this nation. We are a nation that is turning against itself right now. We are a nation at war with itself. And in spite of all that, in spite of chaos, in spite of school shootings, in spite of disease and the fact that cancer has not been beat yet, in spite of the fact that homes are being torn apart and lives are being torn asunder in spite of the fact that people are fighting against one another in cities and in all kinds of different situations. In spite of it all, let us give thanks. Let us give thanks. You know, there's something to be said about those early pilgrims and what they did. And this morning, I want you to focus just a moment. My 10 minutes is almost up. In spite of the fact of all these things happening, the principle of thankfulness not only applies to us as a nation, it applies to you and to me as individuals. As I've gotten older, and I'm getting old, I've been more conscious of the fact and more sensitive to the idea of using that word thank you a little more than what I used to use it. I'm more conscious of the fact that people need to hear that word thank you a little bit more because of the fact that we are living in such a fast-paced society, because of the fact that we are living in such a world around us where it seems as though people don't seem to be as grateful as they were in the past. We need to say thank you. I want to give you a challenge this morning, this week. I want you to think about it and maybe turn your meter on, and I'm going to ask you to say at least 10 times to someone this week, I want you to say thank you. I hear it all the time, of course. I try to use that word all the time, thank you, thank you, and thank you. There's not enough thank yous floating around in our culture today, in our society. There's not enough of it. We're not as thankful as we should be, perhaps. But the principle of thankfulness not only applies to our nation, applies to us as individuals. There are some here today who might say, you know what? I'm not that worried about the country, but I am worried about my family. I am worried about the future. And I am worried about what's going to happen next in my life. There are people here today who would say, with all the mess I've gotten my life into, with all the predicaments that I've faced, I don't have that much to be thankful for. I'm just trying to get through the storm. I'm just trying to get from one day to the next, from one battle to the next. I'm just trying to get from one crisis to the next. How do you deal with that? I would say there are a couple examples to follow. In the midst of the storm, you can find something to be thankful for. Just think of those pilgrims. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the harsh weather, in the midst of all the disease, in the midst of all the problems these early settlers had, they had time to say thank you. They thank God for the next new harvest. And I'm sure you and I could probably find something to be thankful for. The harvest may seem meager, but it's a harvest nonetheless. The blessings may seem to be minor, but they're blessings nonetheless. Amen? And in the midst of hardship, I want to challenge you, and I want to ask that you would ask God to give you the courage to say, thank you, God, for you are good. And you are good, God, all the time. We say that every Sunday, don't we? That's sort of, you know, we could almost put that right across the steeple of the church. God is good. Amen? All the time. All the time, God is good. That's sort of a theme that this church, I think, I hope we'll be known by, and I hope that we'll keep on saying, because I believe that we believe it. I believe that we believe every word of it, that God is good, and He's good. Because of His goodness, we can have this very confidence that our needs will be met, that all our provisions, all His provisions will be there for us. So, you know, as I said, this nation is at war with itself today. There are things that are beyond our control. There's some things I don't have any control over. There are things you do not have any control over. But guess what? We can make this a better world, and we can make this a better country in our own little cubicle, in our own little spot where we are, by being a grateful and thankful people. It can start right here. And as D.L. Moody said, you know, just stand somewhere and draw a circle around yourself and just ask God to begin something great and mighty and powerful within that circle. That's where it's at. Now, my 10 minutes are up. I'm going to take two more because I'm just getting started. No, I'm not. But I want to just remind you of these things, that God is good, that we can enter his gates with thanksgiving. You know, we all know that anyway, right? We've been taught that. We have gone through all these how many thanksgivings over our lives, and we've been told time and time and time again to be thankful. And then it seems as though we get out and we get living our lives and we forget to be as thankful as we should be. Thankfulness is such an importance. Stephen Post, I found out something about him this week. He teaches bioethics at the University of Chicago Medical School. And several years ago, he created a research group called the Institute for Research on Unlimited Love. Quite a handle. The group dedicated to testing and measuring the effects of love, the effects of gratitude, and other positive, caring emotions in human life. And so Dr. Post's research revealed that spending 15 minutes a day focused on things you're grateful for has several positive effects upon your physical well-being and upon your health, upon your emotional health, upon your physical health, upon your mental health, and even upon your spiritual health. It increases, being thankful, he found out in his study, increases your body's natural antibodies. It increases mental capacity, and it increases, or reduces rather, vulnerability to depression. Now, depression is a big problem today. Has anybody ever gone through a depression? I have. Yeah, let's be honest. We've gone through depressions. And, you know, being thankful is a way to overcome depression. It really is. It's scientific, and it's also something that's biblical as well. It creates physiological state of resonance, improving your blood pressure and your heart rate. This week, I was scared out of my wits because I had to go and do a DOT exam. And I've been having some problem with my blood pressure lately. No, it's not because of you guys or anything like that. But <what's, laughs> that's part of it, probably. But my blood pressure was just a little high. And I was scared stiff that I wouldn't get my DOT, which would kind of hold me back a little bit. I wouldn't be able to drive some of these nice big stretch limousines or Escalades or Lincoln town cars or anything like that. And so kind of thinking, this is what I do usually Mondays and Tuesdays. And I said, you know, I could be out of a job if I don't get my DOT, if I don't go in there and pass. So I was worried like crazy about it. And then I finally decided, you know, Lord, there's nothing much I can do. I tried to, you know, drink some water and stuff like that, and make sure I wasn't eating salty foods and stuff like that for a few days, for a week or so beforehand. And I went in there on Thursday, and my blood pressure was 120 over 80. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. You know, it was up in the 150s, 176 at one point. And that's not good. And so, you know, I was concerned about it. But God was good all the time. He brought me through. And just the fact that they took me in there and did all kinds of tests on me, and they even gave me a flu shot, which I was scared stiff about that needle they poked in my arm. I got through it. That was enough right there to put my blood pressure right up. So, made it through. And, you know, I was thankful for that. The greatest blessing of all is gratitude. Gratitude simply being thankful. I believe, this is what I'm going to end on. I believe that being thankful, being grateful, leads you into the presence of God. It really does. It leads you into the presence of God. And that's why this verse here this morning is so cool, so important. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know, I think of the gates, his gates, and I think of the gate of heaven, I think of the pearly gates. You know, all these St. Peter jokes about entering into the gates and so on. I mean, I don't listen to those anymore. But enter his gates with thanksgiving. There is a sense in which you and I, every single day, can enter into the gates of heaven. Enter into God's gates. Enter into the presence of God with thanksgiving in our hearts. There is a sense. There is a calling upon us. There is an overwhelming joy that comes when we do that. That we take that initiative. You can call it willpower. You can call it whatever you want. But the psalmist says it's a direct command. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Be thankful to him. When we're thankful to him, everything else falls into place. And bless his name. And we bless his name by praising him. We bless his name by telling others about him. We bless his name by our lives and the way we live before our world as followers of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's where we're about. Okay? My time is up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that we can come to you. And we praise you for your goodness, Lord. We praise you for your blessings. And we honor you today by dedicating ourselves to be thankful and to be grateful in all things. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.